could be severe. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Hey, welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for a very interesting day that we have planned on the show today, Reed. I know you've probably seen the stream title, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some disrespect, man, because, listen, it's the off season. There's a lot of talk going on, especially regarding football. You know, we're kind of away from football for the time being, but people can't help but talk about it. We all know we're going to talk about it as much as we can. We'll talk about it with Clint Lamb at the top of the hour right here on the Miller's Edge. And Clint will join us and we'll talk about some of this stuff that's been going on. But Reed, there's been a lot of chatter going on this offseason so far and hasn't been so positive for this Alabama football team who, again, going on year three under new head coach Kalen DeBoer, coming out of a spring period where there was some noise coming out of the spring game, at least, I should say. Keelan Russell kind of stealing the show. Definitely some positives coming from the transfers, but looks like some people just still aren't quite necessarily sold just yet, Reed, and we'll talk about some of that. I do know Joel Klatt had some words yesterday. I think it was on the next round. Might have been the day before, but I think it was yesterday. And, yeah, that would make sense. Yesterday was Monday. And he basically was talking about his opinion of Alabama, which if anybody's familiar with Joel Klatt, they would know that he's definitely a Big Ten guy, calls a lot of games on Fox for the Big Ten. So to be fair, you kind of got to keep that in mind. But he's also a football guy, Reed. We know that he keeps up with the game. Now, I don't know how much he really keeps up with Alabama. Sometimes there's some comments that he makes where I'm like, all right, he might not have really watched Alabama in depth like he might have watched, let's say, Ohio State or Michigan. That said, he had some interesting comments about Alabama from last football season. And, you know, it's really ironic because I just so happened to have pretty much the same conversation this past weekend. I was talking with some folks and that like literally the same question came up before this whole Joel Klatt thing came up. So it's funny because I was already talking about this with somebody. And what that question is did Alabama truly improve from year one to year two? Which when you initially asked the question, Reed, I think it's safe to say when you just look at the records, when you just look at Alabama making it to the SEC championship game, sharing a piece of, I guess, first place in the conference. I think it was like four teams tied for first if you really, you know, broke it down. Making a trip to the college football playoffs, winning the first ever away game in the college football playoffs. So, I mean, clearly when you just look at it from that lens, it's like, yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, how did Alabama not improve or progress? But there also is another side of it, Reed, where if you kind of, you know, you get your magnifying glass or you pop the hood, like we like to say, or you really kind of start trying to diagnose things, that I could maybe understand why somebody would have that. And to their point, I even went back and tried to pull up some numbers, you know, year one to year two. I know my dad said stats are for losers, but if we're going to do this whole comparison, I want to see the whole picture. I mean, I can tell you what my eyes see on tape, which I value very strongly, but I wanted to look at numbers. I wanted to kind of really dive into it and see maybe where this argument was coming from. Because again, I just had this conversation this past weekend, ironically, like literally just had it on Saturday, I think it was. So that said, we're going to talk a little bit about that. We'll hear the clip first. We'll play it again. He joined the next round yesterday and was giving his thoughts just kind of on where Alabama stands. And it led to, you know, year one to year two. And there's a little bit of a back and forth. Those guys on that show definitely gave him some pushback for sure. And I know I've seen on social media, a lot of people have been responding to it. And of course, people, they don't really respect Joel, at least in this part of the country. They don't respect Joel Klatt's opinion a whole bunch. Listen, I respect all, you know, opinions, right? You know, especially somebody that is around the game. Now, I'm going to, you know, take it with a grain of salt if I understand that he's maybe not a big SEC guy. But still, I value it, and I want to at least try to explore it and see maybe where he's coming from, which I'm going to be completely honest with you. There is a, when you really, you know, pop the hood and you take a look deep down, there probably is a little bit of merit with what he's saying, right? I'm not saying it's entirely true, but I think there, when we pull up these numbers and we really talk about it, I think you guys will maybe have a little bit different I guess, idea of it. But nonetheless, I mean, again, I think it's just it's really about the whole perspective that you're taking, or I guess maybe even further read kind of what your definition of, I guess, progress is. And maybe this is a better thing. How about this? Progress versus improvement, right? Maybe we can agree on progress. Improvement, I mean, maybe if you're talking about the actual improvement of the football team themselves, maybe there is a little bit more of a debate there. I don't think you can debate the progress part because the progress clearly was done if you're just going off of how far they made it. We'll talk about that in depth. Plus some more disrespect, since that's the theme of the day, Ree. We're just talking about a whole bunch of disrespect. Now, I used ChatGPT, who's been my best friend recently, man, whether it's helped me with my Spanish or helping me with these graphics. I put this graphic together, and again, I need to give credit where it's due because this is from the New York Times. It was an article that was written, and I was scrolling across this on social media. I had to double check, Ree, because I had to like make sure I was reading this quote right. But what it was, Stuart Mandel of looks like, I guess, The Athletic, but also maybe the New York Times, maybe writes for both. I don't know. That's just kind of what I saw from the article. But he was interviewing what I believe was maybe a strength coach for Indiana, who kind of detailed his account of maybe what kind of was going through the mind of Kurt Cignetti ahead of the Alabama football game. Not really just what was going through his mind, but really kind of what he had to say regarding the football game leading up to it. And this quote really kind of was an eye-opener, right? Because it kind of paints a picture of really how these folks over on the Indiana side of things really view this Alabama football team. And I'll read this quote here in a little bit. That way, you guys, if you haven't seen it, again, I posted it. You can check it out on our X account at the Miller's Edge. Got a nice, pretty little graphic where you can just kind of read it and see what Mr. Kurt Cignetti allegedly had to say, according to this, I guess, strength coach that was formerly at Indiana. So, like I said, there's disrespect flying everywhere, Reed, which is not fun when you know people are taking aim at you. But, you know, for the offseason, it's a great talking point. So we're going to talk about it on Talking Tuesday right here on the Miller's Edge. Of course, we got Clint Lamb joining us at the top of the hour as well. We'll do that. Plus, I want to hear from you guys, 205-342-9904. We're going to hear about some of this disrespect. I want to get y'all's thoughts on it, man. Do you think it's warranted? You think it's out of, you know, out of pocket? You think... I don't know. You tell me what you think.
We even offer gift wrapping to make it easy for you. So come shop with us. We can't wait to help you celebrate the amazing women in your life.
And as always, tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We're about to go take a listen here, Reed, to a, I guess, what Jake would call a Bama hater, man. He's identifying Mr. Joel Klatt as a Bama hater. Would we call him a Bama hater? Would we say that? I mean, listen, I know a lot that he says about Alabama does appear to be pretty negative. I mean, do we classify him as a... When I think of a Bama hater, I don't even want to give this guy's name any attention, man. But he used to come on a show that I used to do. Dude was very rude, very disrespectful. He was very nice to my co-host, but for me, he had no... It was the weirdest thing, man. And I'm like, I was nothing but nice to this guy. But that's very fitting for him, very fitting for his character. But I don't even remember his name now that I think about it. I'm not even being funny. I really don't. It just slipped my mind. He's an older guy, though, man. He calls games, too. Oh, initials TB, man. I mean, if you guys know, you know. I mean, he keeps to come on the station. He's just, full of himself, very rude. And if anybody's a Bama hater, I'll give that guy that term. But Reed, when we think of Joel Klatt, do we call him a Bama hater, or is he just like a tough critic?
I think he's more of a tough critic, because you got to think about it, or at least this is how I think about it, is like my friends that like strictly, if they care more about Bama's failure than their own team's success, then that's what I classify as a Bama hater. But for him, since he doesn't really have a quote-unquote team, even though he is associated with the Big Ten, so I can see where some people think he is a hater because you're, I guess, more aligned with one conference than the other. But there's not like a specific team, so I'm thinking it's more toward as a critic.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And listen, and I think even in this clip, I mean, he had high praise for Coach Kalen DeBoer, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was this clip. I think it was him saying it might have been something else. Listen, there's so many people talking right now, starting to mix it up. But I'm pretty sure he was pretty high on Ty Simpson, right? Which I don't think that necessarily saves him from being labeled a Bama hater. But I get what you're saying, because I hear people that literally, I mean, they're rooting for anything Alabama to fail, or you get what I'm saying? Like, they just want Alabama to fail, or, oh, Alabama didn't make the playoffs, like, they're cheering. You're like, okay, that's corny. You know what I mean? Like, that's hating. I don't think Joel Klatt would be cheering if Alabama didn't make the playoffs. Now, he might be saying they didn't deserve to get in, but I'm saying the people that, like, celebrate, like, yes, we don't have to see Alabama. I'm like,
yeah, the people that go on social media blowing up, like, Bama's lost, they're out of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. That, to me, that's definitely, I don't know. But to be fair, I get it. I know some people, you know, Paul Feinbaum, I see that in the chat. Maybe people call him a Bama hater. But I mean, there's times that it's interesting with him. I guess I could see that a little bit too. Somebody just mentioned Booger McFarland. All the people that they're naming, they definitely do have some tendencies, man, to kind of lean against Alabama. But I think it's important to decipher, because as somebody who likes to be just, you know, very down the middle, very honest, right? I do appreciate when people have more of an objective opinion, at least if it's fair. Now, if I hear somebody just talking and it does sound a little biased, or it sounds like they're just, you know, trying to hate, that's one thing. But I think I have a good enough sense to decipher when someone is, you know what I mean, just being a little critical when it might be warranted, which, again, I feel like there's been a number of things that have warranted some criticism. Just calling a spade, just like you've heard some of that here on the show. But I think sometimes people can take it overboard, which I'll be honest, I don't know if Joel Klatt necessarily took this overboard. I think it might have been taken like that from Alabama fans when you just listen to it. But when you really dive into the depths of it, there might be a little something there from where he's coming from. Not saying he's entirely right, but let's go ahead and hear what Joel Klatt had to say about Alabama. And the biggest thing, did they truly improve from year one to year two?
The line of scrimmage was at times. There was improvement from year one.
And this is courtesy of the next round. I want to be clear. You guys on the stream, you can see this, but I want to be clear. This is from the next round, their show that was yesterday. Just had to give some credit where it was due.
Year two overall.
No.
Not in Alabama football, period? You don't think they improved year one or year two?
I think Klatt's about to tell us that Ty Simpson.
They got bailed out by Ty Simpson.
I'm just talking the totality because, I mean, the numbers are the numbers. They won more games. They played for an SEC championship. They won a playoff game on the road.
Gosh, you just put me in these positions to say these things. It's just so...
You won't be the first to say Ty Simpson bailed them out of a lot of bad football. You won't be the first.
And I already did. And that's and I believe that. I think that, you know, unless he played amazing, they did not have a great shot in big games. golly.
Just be yourself, you, Klatt. Just roll.
I know. SEC is not nearly what it was. So this idea, like, oh, look at all the games they won. Look at what they did in the SEC. Okay. I mean, OU? I mean, what are we talking about? OU was 93rd in total offense or something around there. Like, come on. You know, it's just not the same league. Doesn't mean it's not a good league. It is a really good league, and it was deep. It was a deep league. Here's where I'll give Kalen DeBoer credit. The SEC was... You know, like the top has come down, and I think the bottom has risen a little bit. So I think it's a really tightly bunched league. Would you guys agree with that? Like, for instance, 12 teams had four players or more drafted, right? Big Ten only seven. So we know that the SEC is a deeper league as far as overall talent. When the Big Ten is winning the national championship, they have more first round draft picks, but overall a record of players selected. What was it, 87? So here's where I would give Alabama credit, is that in a tightly bunched league, Kalen is a very good football coach, and they win those games against teams that they're similar to. What I think he's going to have trouble with is trying to beat the teams that they're not better than, and what I would call a matchup game. When you get into the playoffs and you don't have a run game and you're 120 whatever in yards per carry, guess what you can't do against Indiana? Fake it. You can't. You know, guess what Washington couldn't do against Michigan? Fake it. And Penix got his head beat in.
Do you agree, though?
So that was Joel Klatt's response to if he agrees that Alabama improves from year one to year two. So definitely some interesting stuff there from Joel Klatt. Again, Reed, I think let's just start here. Let's start with that initial question. Joel Klatt does not believe so. He gave his reasons for that, which was pretty much he didn't really feel that the SEC is the same conference as what it once was. A lot of people talked about, you know, that 4-week stretch that Alabama went through this past season where there's like four straight ranked teams. I think that was like the first time done in Alabama history, SEC history, whatever it was in terms of in quite some time. I don't remember the exact stat, but I remember them talking about it. Remember, Alabama had to play four straight ranked teams, a couple of those games on the road against Missouri and forgetting who the other one was, but you get the point, right? They did some good stuff, 100%. You know, they made it to the SEC championship game. They made it to the playoffs, beat Oklahoma. His whole thing was, well, Oklahoma wasn't that impressive of a football team. But again, that to me is spoken like someone who doesn't have the true understanding of the depth of the SEC. While the SEC, you could say, well, they haven't won a national championship game in 3 years. They're not the same conference as they once were. I would argue they still are a deep conference. I mean, you got Georgia, you've got Alabama, you've got Ole Miss, who was also a playoff team, made a deep run. You had Texas A&M. I know they had the first round exit to Miami, and they really, really probably should have won that football game. It was that late turnover that Marcel Reed threw, ended up ultimately giving Miami the win. But still, they're a good football team. You see where they're trending. And not to mention some of these other teams that might not necessarily be up there right now, but just like you heard Kirby Smart talk about, like, you know, Mississippi State, they don't get a bunch of credit, but they're a tough, hard-nosed football team that you got to go play, right? I mean, you see what Kentucky's starting to try to do. I mean, they gave Georgia a run for their money a season or two ago, and you're seeing some of the changes that they're making. I mean, you're expecting them to start being a little bit more of a competitive football team. Can't forget about Texas. I mean, they're loaded with talent. They might come short in some moments, but they're a really good football team. They got a good coach in Steve Sarkisian. South Carolina, record's not going to show it, but they're not a slouch at all. So I disagree with them from that standpoint. Now, we had this conversation about the Big Ten improving, and definitely that margin between the two conferences has shrunk. There's no denying that. I think the last three national champions coming from the Big Ten, I think that proves it. However, I don't think it's enough to merit discrediting the SEC in the manner in which we hear from a number of people externally. Now, to the whole point, did Alabama truly progress? Again, I think it's safe to say, if you're looking at, like he mentioned, I think it was one of the guys on the show, like from a totality standpoint, when you go from 9-3 in the regular season, right? I know schedules are a little bit different. Teams are going to be different. But we can check that box for progress there, at least. Making it to the SEC championship game, I mean, that's clear progress. Again, he might not respect the conference and is kind of downplaying some of those accomplishments, like making it to the SEC championship game. But, I mean, who are we talking about in the Big Ten? Now, I will say they're better. I mean, looking at Ohio State's schedule, seeing they play Oregon and Southern Cal, I mean, those are better football teams. Before, you know, the Pac-12 lost its top teams to the Big Ten, it definitely wasn't a conversation. Now it's a little bit more of a conversation. However, to make it seem like the SEC is just not impressive anymore, I mean, that to me, that's silly. But again, making it to the SEC championship, that's progress. Making it to the college football playoffs, getting a win on the road, that's progress. Losing to the eventual national champion, which I think they might have made this point both of the losses Kalen DeBoer has had so far have come to the future national champions. You go back to his first year when they lost to Michigan in that bowl game. Actually, I'm messing that up. I guess he was talking about Nick Saban's time. So maybe I'm mixing. He has me confused. Regardless, anyway, the conference is still strong. And at the end of the day, there was progress made. But when you do a deep dive on this football team, Reed, I got these numbers pulled up. And this is from Mike Rodak from Bama 24/7. I pulled these numbers up because he actually compared these two football teams, Alabama in 2024 and Alabama in 2025. Back in January, I think it was. And so when you look at these raw numbers, it is kind of interesting, right? So again, now we're moving away from just the, you know, the things that the football team accomplished and more so what the football team was. And I'll give you my opinion on the eye test here in a second, but here's some numbers. I just think it's interesting. Let's see. Alabama scored less points per drive in 2025 than they did in 2024, right? It was 2.63. And 2.74. Again, not a huge difference there, but still, I mean, that's a stat. And there's a number of these, so I'll try to read them off quickly. Gave up more points per drive, 1.64 compared to 1.30. The offense gained 5.6 yards per play versus 6.3 yards per play in 2024. Defense allowed 4.9 yards per play versus 4.7. Again, the margin is very slim, but for what it's worth, I mean, this is just worth mentioning in my opinion. If you go down the list, I mean, the third downs, converting third downs offensively, that was better the year prior. Opponents converting on third down, that was better the year prior. Alabama scored a touchdown on 71.7 red zone trips in 2025 compared to 74.5. Again, that's a pretty interesting stat. So, I mean, there's a number of these other stats that I'm not going to sit there and read a million of them. But when you really, you know, dissect both football teams, he kind of has a point. Right. I mean, those numbers themselves speak for it. Now, that doesn't paint the whole story. But I mean, and then even just off the eye test and just breaking them down. I mean, think about this, Reed. I mean, the running game, at least statistically, was much better in 2024. But Jalen Milroe was responsible for what? 60% of that, at least. Again, I don't have the exact numbers, but I would imagine he was a large. I know for a fact he's a large piece of it. I just don't know the exact percentage. What I'm getting at is, you know, the running game wasn't great necessarily then, but he kind of masked those issues. And I think to Joel Klatt's point, he's kind of saying, hey, the following year was just kind of like, you know, yeah, Jalen Milroe's, you know, running ability masked a lot of issues. The following year, it was Ty Simpson's, you know, passing ability that masked a lot of the issues that still were problems. So I think the way he views it as, if you kind of take away those variables, I mean, the skeleton of the football team was relatively similar, right? I mean, Alabama could not run the football well at all in 2025. In fact, it was worse. They threw it a little bit better. But to be honest with you, I'd be interested in pulling the numbers up because I wonder just how much better it was. I know it was better. We can agree on that, but let's break it down. Alabama had a better deep ball in the first year than they did last year. They had more explosive playability in the first year than they did last year. Now, the intermediate game was a lot better with Ty Simpson. But really, when you compare those, running game was bad in both years, better deep ball in the first year than the second year. Really, the main improvement you're really looking at is, you know, parts of the passing game offensively. But that's really, when you think about it, you know what I mean? Like, there weren't too many crazy improvements. Again, from a football team perspective, that's what I'm talking about right now. When you really do a deep dive. Defensively, I would almost say it's kind of a, I don't know if I'll say it's a wash, but I feel like defensively, I feel like they were very similar units, kind of bend but don't break. And again, I don't have all the details for every defensive statistic, but I know we only had 25 sacks last year. I don't know what we had in 2024. I probably should have pulled that up, but I would like to look just from the eye test. I feel like defense was solid in both years. I don't think there was like a big improvement or really like there's no huge drop off either. It kind of seemed relatively consistent for the most part. There were some areas and aspects that I thought got better. We talked about little nuances, like how they called the defense, I thought was better in 2025 for sure. But there still was, you know, similar issues with consistency defensively. That said, Reed, when you view it from that lens, I don't think it's so crazy for someone to have the opinion that Alabama didn't necessarily improve, technically speaking, a whole bunch from year one to year two. like, we're just being honest here, right? When you really break down the football teams. But there's no denying the progress in terms of where they made it, their ability to overcome, you know what I mean? And whether it's the South Carolina game that, you know, by the grace of God, we had another fumble that, you know, gave us an opportunity to put some points on the board. I mean, the Auburn game, I think people forget how close the Iron Bowl was last year. We're talking about a gutsy fourth down call that, let's just be honest, Reed, if they didn't convert that fourth down against Auburn, that Iron Bowl could have gone a whole different way, which would have meant no SEC championship, probably wouldn't have made the college football playoffs, and we could be having a whole different conversation here. Again, and I'm not saying that to downplay anything. I'm just putting myself in the position of others that might look at it from that perspective and say, I mean, let's just be clear. I mean, we were probably, you know, a play or two away. Granted, and it went in our favor, which is good. But I'm just saying, if I'm them and I'm trying to picture why they're having this perspective, I can see those things. Now, I've done a bunch of talking, Reed. I know you're ready to chime in. What do you think about what Joel Klatt said in terms of, I guess, from the progress standpoint and then like the deep dive on both football teams?
Well, Christian, I think you really spoke on behalf of me. I think when it comes to actual progress, I think that's inevitable that there was progress from year two to year three, right? But when we look at kind of like you were talking about improvement, I think it's hard to tell when you have two completely different style of quarterbacks. Like if there was a consistency at quarterback, like let's just say we had Jalen Milroe for both of those years or Ty Simpson for both of those years, right? It'd be a lot easier to compare. But because those two different quarterbacks have two different play styles, it's really, I don't think it's almost fair to kind of compare those because, like you said, one can mask the, you know, the struggle in the run game, and the other one can mask the problems with his efficiently throwing the ball at, like, a superior level, right?
Right.
So I just think that it's almost unfair to compare the two, and if there would have been, like, the same quarterback from, you know, year to year, I think then we could actually tell, okay, there was, you know, progress here or not in progress. There was improvement here, but was there not really improvement there?
That's fair. And that's fair. There was more constant variables here, right? Like you could take it back to the school times where we had to, well, I forgot what that whole thing was. Constants and variables, one that's fixed. And anyway, we're not going to sit there and try to teach. We're about to hit a timeout. But last thing I will throw in here is I do think it's worth mentioning. Starting quarterback Ty Simpson did get banged up, which I get it. A lot of people have injuries. Hell, Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, I feel like he was hurt like the whole year. Missouri's quarterback went down. I mean, it's not an excuse, but I do think it is important to acknowledge that because a lot of these issues that Alabama, in fact, ended up having were later in the season, which a lot of people immediately point to the injuries, especially at the quarterback position in Ty Simpson. However, others would like also argue that other football teams get better as the season progresses. And to be fair, I think that was part of it too. Just like the second time we faced Georgia in the SEC championship game, that was a different football team. They got a lot better, a whole lot better. And we saw that on the field. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. Do you think Alabama improved from year one to year two? Do you feel like Joel Klatt's opinion is a little disrespectful? Let us know, 205-342-9904. Of course, you can always drop your answers here in the chat. At the Miller's Edge on YouTube, at the Miller's Edge on X. Plus, we got Clint Lamb. He's going to be calling in today at the top of the hour for a few minutes. I know he's got some stuff to take care of. But no worries. We'll make sure we got plenty more time for you guys right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
services for our complete range of duct services. 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamp Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Get it done by the professionals at 80 Teeth Precision Armor. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, behind Big John's Barbecue in Moundville. They do the weird stuff.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
On the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, let's hear what you guys have to say about this whole conversation. Don't forget, man, this is just phase one of the disrespect that's been going on. We still got phase two coming out of Indiana and Coach Kurt Cignetti. That one might actually be a little bit disrespect, but we'll get to that in a little bit. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. First, we're gonna hear from our guy Smitty, 205-342-9904. Smitty, welcome in, man.
Good. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. Talk to me. I already know you're coming on the defense, man. You better play D like Rondo in the playoffs right now, NBA playoffs. Come on, man. Talk to me. I know you're going to defend Alabama right here. What's up, man? You got that Wemby defense today, huh?
Yeah, cause I already know you like riding the fence here. So let me go ahead and tell the truth here. You don't want to make nobody mad. I'll make folks mad. But first things first, when everybody talks about Indiana, I think this is another thing that separates Coach Saban from a lot of coaches. They saying it's Kurt Cignetti, Nick Saban, Junior, and all that, but it's only one Nick, right? It's all good when you bring it. Hold on. I'm going for it.
I ain't heard that one yet. Go ahead.
No, but everybody keeps saying he's Saban. That's because he yells at people. I know how that is, right? but the thing is, right, it's all good when you got your first initial guy. Now when you start bringing a different caliber of player in this era, having that same program, having that same, you know, culture, that's a challenge for a lot of coaches. And especially when you start losing your assistant. And I think that's something that Coach Saban did that folks don't give him no credit to. But with Joel Klatt, right, he's another one of these hot take analysts that comparing Alabama to 2015. No other program is being compared to another to the years in the past. No one's even comparing Georgia to 2021. Not the first year they won the title when they beat Bryce Young and company. All I heard all offseason, Kenny and the board better make the playoff. Well, they did it. Joe Klatt talked about, well, you got to beat somebody better than them. I'll be honest. All three times Alabama played Georgia under Kenny and the board, Georgia was a better team. And he's 2-1. Correct me if I'm wrong, Christian. Can I ask you a question? Who snapped Georgia's home winning streak?
That would be Kalen DeBoer in Alabama this past football season.
Yes. So this is where we talked about Kalen DeBoer got accentuated the positives. I agree with you on that. Hey, all these folks talking about your low lights, talk about what you did also. And because everybody talking run the ball. Guys, let me tell you who else couldn't run the ball last year? Texas. They were bad also. Their offensive line was bad. Sorry, Digger, I'm just telling the truth here. Ohio State's offensive line was god-awful. But the thing was, if you look at their schedule, they played Texas first game of the year. Texas defense is always big time. They didn't play another ranked team until October to play Illinois. My thing on that is they didn't play enough teams who could test them physically up front. Michigan kind of pushed them, but they had no offense. Indiana, they couldn't move the ball on Indiana. Miami barely moved the ball also. And that's what number four overall receiver, generational Jeremiah Smith, and you have four picks in the top 10. You know? Hmm. And so what I'm saying is that no one's saying, well, they didn't make progress. They ain't good enough. Even Oregon. I love Dante Moore. I think he's going to be a heck of a prospect. But you look at his numbers against good competition, he becomes check down Charlie. So it's like, Alabama is held to the extent, and let's be real also, in the playoff, you're better off being the fifth seed than a top four seed. Look who you're playing as a fifth seed 9 times out of 10, and you got a guaranteed win. But then when everybody complained about Alabama got down 17, nothing against Oklahoma on the road, yeah, they came back. But whenever Kirby got down 17, nothing, they come back. No one ever criticizes them. They say, oh, that's championship medal. That's a Kirby Smart team. Never gives up. So my thing is, there's a double standard. So I say this also. Like Reed was saying, not just two different quarterbacks, those two different offenses. Alabama's offense was a slower offense last year. Jalen Milroe, I compare him to the uncle. You know this being from the South, who ain't got number 150s in his pockets. He ain't got no ones or fives. He's a one. He got 150s in his pocket. That's just who he is. It's a different offense. And I think if my thing is, I'm not saying Alabama's great last year, but they made the playoff. Texas didn't make the playoff last year. I'm not picking on them. I know everybody loved talking about Texas A&M and Ole Miss, but the question I have is, the warning is, would you suspend the conference if you get scheduled luck, Christian, because A&M, they only played one SEC team in the top eight. They lost to them in Texas. The other one, Miami. Quarterback had to play quarterback. So I just think that, yes, they lost some games. Yes, they couldn't run the ball. And I believe offensive line play nationwide is terrible because of nobody sticking around. But I just think folks got to stop comparing Alabama to when you were there, because it's a different sport now, you know. And I think that is what's happening with Alabama.
Well, Smitty, I think Christian's having some technical difficulties, but I'll pick up kind of where he left off then on, like, kind of the discussion. So would you say that there was both progress and improvement then?
I look at it like this. My thing with progress, man, Christian must be mad at me. But anyway, the thing is, Reed, I believe that's progress, and he met the goals. You made the playoffs. The first team to win a playoff game on the road. Folks can say Oklahoma ain't good and all that, but you can only play who's in front of you. And Alabama was the underdog of that game, too. But I think that was progress of coming to winning games. You play the tougher schedule than some teams your own conference. Now, are there things to work on, Reed? You're daggone right there is. But he still won games. And I think that at the end of the day, we're losing the focus of the main thing is winning games. They know what they have to work on. They're addressing it, and let's see what happens. But I just think, Reed, folks got to stop comparing Alabama to when Christian was a school because it's a different sport. And I just
Go ahead. My bad. I was going to say, I apologize. My whole connection was acting funny, but I'm back, and I just caught the back half of what you're saying. But, Smitty, let me ask you this, though. He's comparing Alabama in 2024 to 2025, both years that Kalen DeBoer has been head coach. So are you referring to just fans in general? I'm saying external fans or really fans, I guess, anywhere that are basically comparing Alabama. Because I agree with you a lot of times. Like, for example, my dad, Every time he's on here, it's Alabama would do this. Alabama shouldn't this. And that's a prime example of somebody holding that standard, which, again, the standard is the standard. We all know that. And then fans feel that way. I mean, when I make the comment that you probably need to readjust things, again, that's not to say you should not expect to be competing for national championship. Like, I think out of all people, I would love to make sure that's that's the case here. But I just also know the landscape is a little bit different, right? And you're kind of still going through a little bit of a transition period. That said, but let me just narrow it down for you, Smitty. Did Alabama improve from year one to year two under Kalen DeBoer?
Yes, because he accomplished the goals that everybody was bellyaching about. Make the playoff. Now, she lost to Florida State? No. But they still made the playoff. And we could say, if this play didn't work, if this play didn't work, we'd all be drunk. It was a fifth. They won 10 games in a regular season. There are teams in this conference that everybody's hyping up didn't win 10 games in a regular season. And that's my thing. And I just think that I just think Alabama is judged against Alabama. They can say what they want. And I just think that people, because there are a lot of first-year quarterbacks that didn't do what Ty did. Julian Fain was not better than Ty Simpson, a year one starter. You know, and look what Ohio State had. Arch had his struggles early. There are other quarterbacks who had his struggles early. But, and this new, and I say this real quick, this new age of college football, Christian, your quarterback is going to have to mask some holes. Because guess who has to mask holes? NFL quarterbacks. If it has to be 100% perfect, sunny and mild, are you really the guy? And I just think that there are certain things that people aren't looking at. And I think that's just my thing there. And tell Adam, man, help you out your internet connection, man. You know, you got it. But you have a good one, Christian.
You too, man. I don't think it was. I don't know what happened, man. It was the weirdest thing. But no, shout out to our guy, Adam, man. He joins us on Thursdays. And we just discussed with Adam. Adam's going to be with us all year long, man, through football season. Looking forward to that, man. We got some fun stuff planned with that. But first, we got to hit this timeout. Big thanks to Smitty on the phone lines. We come back, we keep talking about this, man. The disrespect, does it continue in the media right now for Alabama? Get y'all's thoughts on that. Plus, we got Clint Lamb calling in at the top of the hour right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We're also going to have a chance to make another SEC bus stop. We'll do that in Austin, Texas. We'll get the latest on the Texas Longhorns, a post-spring reminder. Right here, starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2...
Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, priced at $54,529.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed-sponsored jobs. Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon, the high 79. Tonight, mostly fair with a low at 64. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy and breezy. The chance of a shower by afternoon. Thunderstorms arrive tomorrow night. Those could be severe, the high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
It's Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going to head back over to the phone lines here in a second. But first, we're going to hit this top of the hour break here in about 2 minutes. So we got Clint Lamb coming up. We'll be joined by Clint first. And I see we got Pat on the phone lines. We're going to hear from Pat as well. We're going to keep discussing everything that we've got going on. Again, this is just phase one here on the disrespect tour that we've seen with Alabama recently during this offseason. Which we know, listen, offseason is time for all this talk anyway. So people are going to start throwing out stuff. Because, and you start making some bold takes or bold claims, Reed, it normally gets a few more clicks. Now, I don't like doing that method, but a lot of people do. So guess what? We let them do it, then we just respond to it. That's how we like to roll. That said, hey, I want to remind you real quick before we get to this top of the hour about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Hey, there are our official representation here on the show. And I can just tell you, man, when you have, you know, somebody that you can trust, somebody a genuine that you know has your back in your back pocket for any situation that you may need. Life is a little bit easier. You can breathe a little bit easier. So make sure you guys check them out. If you're looking for any of that representation, whether it's criminal defense, NIL, academic, or career planning, they've got you covered, man. They really do it all, right? And that's for high school, college, or graduate students in terms of the planning side of things or the academic side of things. And, of course, if you find yourself in a legal situation, that's what they got you covered for, of course, and really at a very affordable rate, which you can find all that on their new website, lamparello-law.com. Go check it out now. I mean, it's a beautiful new website. I'll put it here on the stream screen, lamparello-law.com. It's got their phone number, 201-273-9337, adam@lamparello-law.com. Or you can just go to the website and schedule a consultation and get all your questions answered. And they've got all that information for you right there. Again, they do it with genuine care. They beat all these prices out there, and they'll make sure that they get you covered, man. Again, that is Lamparello Law, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. We're hitting this top of the hour timeout. We come back, we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Minnesota Timberwolves won their second round playoff opener at San Antonio, 104-102. Anthony Edwards came off the bench for 18 points. He returned after missing last week with a hyperextended knee. Victor Wembanyama, in defeat, had 12 block shots, a playoff record. The Knicks won their series opener easily against Philadelphia, 137-98. Jalen Brunson, 35 points, 27 of that in the first half. Orlando fired coach Jamal Mosley. The Pistons gave coach J.B. Bickerstaff a contract extension. In the NHL playoffs, second round opener at Vegas to the Golden Knights 3-1 over Anaheim. Carolina's up 2-0 after a comeback overtime win against Philadelphia 3-2. The Packers signed veteran quarterback Tyrod Taylor. In baseball, the White Sox shut out the Angels 6-0. 14th homer of the year for Munetaka Murakami. Aaron Judge homered Yankees 12-1 over the Orioles.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller. And at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
partner. From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're going back to the phone lines. This time we're joined by our friend Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us every Tuesday here on the Miller's Edge. Clint, good Tuesday to you, man. Welcome in.
How you doing today, Christian?
Man, can't complain, man. We're the Talking Tuesday per usual. We got a lot of disrespect we're talking about, Clint. We've started to dive into some of these narratives that we've seen in the media. Alabama's kind of been, subject to some of these, these talking points. A lot of people taking a look at Alabama, and on the outside looking in, some people maybe not as high on them. So we've been talking about that. I definitely want to get your thoughts on that here in a second. But first, man, tell me, because I know you've been putting out a number of videos recently, man. You're kind of talking a little bit about some of the stuff with kind of the landscape now. That's all you had the video with Cliff Kingsbury? I'm drawing a blank here, man. Kind of about the way we're recruiting things, man. So fill us in kind of what you've been covering over the last couple of days, Clint.
Yeah, I found it interesting that Lincoln Riley and USC, with the way things have been going, obviously signed the number one recruiting class this past cycle. I think they signed, 35 total players, which was an absurd amount. Spent a lot of money, and now they're trying to kind of paint things as, they don't feel like the 2027 recruiting cycle is as littered with talent as previous years, and so they're going to dial things back, and I think they're looking to, add about 16 guys to their 2027 class, and to me, it's just a spin job. You've heard about that as far as the NFL draft, and just, you having down years, like this year was kind of considered a pretty big down year as far as the NFL draft was concerned. But as far as, maybe for like an individual state, but in recruiting, you can go all over the United States and you're going to find quality high school players. So I think that's more of just a spin job on their part to kind of justify the fact that Lincoln Riley and a lot of these programs, like they have respectable NIL funds. They're going to go out and they're going to be able to get certain guys. But these programs, like Ohio State a few years ago when they won the national championship, they were known as far and away the biggest spender as far as NIL was concerned. That ended up yielding them a national championship in return. But since then, they're still in a very respectful place. They're still adding tons of talent. But are they doing to the degree what they did a couple of years ago? Absolutely not. This year, you know, Texas is always going to be there. Texas A&M, Texas Tech, nowadays it seems like there are going to be programs who completely disregard the money that's being spent by their boosters, and they have no problem continuing to fund those types of endeavors. But as far as programs like LSU, you know, we saw it somewhat at Ole Miss last year as far as kind of swinging for the fences and adding a lot of transfer portal guys. USC this year, like, it's more so programs that are kind of – Lincoln Riley's in a spot where he's got to go win football games. He's got to get over the hump and get to the college football playoff and be competitive, or he's going to be looking for a job. And so I think boosters, they kind of looked at him and said, hey, we'll give you the resources needed in order to make you as competitive as possible this year, but this is not going to be an annual thing until you start giving us more results on the field. And that's where I think a lot of these programs are at. So everybody thinks, you know, hey, why doesn't Alabama have LSU's money or USC's money or some of these other places? And to an extent, that might be true with some of them. But I don't think, number one, that it's as far off as a lot of people think. And number two, Alabama's just not taking that approach. They haven't reached that level of desperate yet. I mean, when you've won all the national championships they won under Nick Saban, it's going to take a while. You know, USC hadn't won one in a long time. They haven't been to a college football playoff. Like, they're a lot more desperate than a lot of these other programs. So they're doing whatever it takes to kind of get over the hump. And I'm not saying that Alabama's not doing everything that they possibly can, but just they're not coming from a place of desperation. And they feel like with the way that this rev share is going to eventually play itself out, they want to kind of be in a place where they feel good and they don't have to make a lot of significant adjustments once that happens. And so I just, you know, I've been kind of trying to explain that to people, and, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But I thought it was funny because the whole idea that USC is only taking 16 guys in this 2017 class because they feel like it's a down year in high school recruiting is one of the most absurd things I've ever heard.
I'd have to take a look at some of these prospects to see if I agree with that. I'll be honest, I haven't seen a whole bunch yet, but maybe I'll do that with all this time that we have this off season. Clint, I want to get your thoughts on something that we've been discussing. I'm sure you've heard it, but if not, basically it was Joel Klatt joining the next round, and they asked him about, I guess, Alabama's, you know, first year under Kalen DeBoer to year two under Kalen DeBoer, and if he agreed that there was progress. His answer was basically, well, no. He just said no. Then when he explained a little bit, he kind of downplayed the SEC, talked about the conference not being the same, which I guess he was bringing up to say people talk about the stretch that Alabama had, you know, the four straight ranked conference opponents and things like that, making it to the SEC championship, all big accomplishments. But I guess in his eyes, it wasn't as impressive as a lot of people made it seem. I want to ask you, Clint, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you feel like Alabama, in fact, made progress from year one to year two? Now, what we did was we kind of took a deeper dive on that outside of just, you know, how far they made it, because I think we all can agree on that. That's clear progress. But when you really deep dive on both football teams, I know you watch a lot of tape. When you look at both football teams and really dissect them in terms of their ability to run the football, I guess their defensive consistency, whatever the case may be, any of those metrics or aspects, do you feel like Alabama truly improved from year one to year two?
Number one, I'm shocked that a former Big 12 quarterback who now does commentary for the Big 10 is taking a negative shot at an SEC program. I've never seen that before. No, in all seriousness, I mean, I'm a guy who covers Alabama. I mean, a lot of my takes and stuff in regards to when it comes to other programs and kind of where they stand or how Alabama matches up. I mean, a lot of times I've always said I would rather be right than be biased. I don't think now you will have some bias that's kind of built in that you're unintentionally maybe is kind of trickling into some of your analysis, but that is never intentional. It's never trying to be a homer or anything like that. So I say that to say I don't think I do feel like Joel Klatt probably believes a lot of what he says, and I do think there is some evidence. I mean, you got to look and say, I mean, with the way that they got beat down against Indiana and beat down against Georgia. And of course, Florida State, I mean, 14-point loss to a 5-7 football team. Last year, kind of what happened against Oklahoma, of course, you know, you had something similar, and it felt like the Vanderbilt, in a lot of ways, a couple of years ago, kind of dominated that football game, at least for the most part. But, you know, some of the deficiencies that Alabama had as a team, I mean, the fact that you had what I would view as a historically bad run game, I mean, you've got to take that into account. And that the results are the results. And at the end of the day, sometimes because Nick Saban was the coach for close to two decades, it's not just about winning. It was never just about winning. There would be Alabama fans that would come away from a Saturday pissed off because they didn't beat a team by enough. You know, they felt like they were better than, you know, that the score, the final score would indicate. So one of the things about Kalen DeBoer is you don't really see him dominating opponents, right? I mean, even some of these games, it felt like they had a chance to put their foot on the throat to some of these teams and put teams away, Missouri and some of these others, and they let them linger. And all of them ended up being games in the end as a result. And so, you know, you look at Indiana and what they did to Alabama and what they did to Oregon and what they did to, you know, Illinois and some of these other schools. And it's like they, you know, from start to finish, pretty much dominated opponents. And that's a lot more of what it looked like under Nick Saban. So in comparison, at the end of the day, no one's going to remember exactly how some of these games look. It's a matter of how many wins did you get, how many times did you make the playoffs, how many times did you make the national championship, and how many times did you win it. And, you know, from that standpoint, when you compare 2024 to 2025, it's pretty apparent that they are moving in the right direction. But when you actually dive into some of the, you know, more intricate details of, you know, how things are playing out, it is, I mean, do I think they took any sort of substantial step forward? I mean, I really don't. They just figured out a way to win some of these football games. And I think they came together. They hammered adversity well. You know, that's something that I think in 2024 they didn't always do a great job of, whether it be end game or, you know, something bad happens in a particular game that kind of the effects linger a little bit. Well, you know, you get beat by Florida State and a very embarrassing loss in week one. And then you come together as a team and you really start to bounce back and you figure out ways to go on the run that they did. You got to weigh all of it. But from my gut feeling, I would say it was a step in the right direction because I'm a kind of a final result kind of guy. But I will say if you're one to take that and automatically, I mean, like you got to be careful, I guess, is my point, because it's not like everything was moving in the right direction. There are some things that can cause some regression if you don't address it and get it fixed. But what I will say is this: is that Kalen DeBoer has seemingly identified those problems, just like fans have, as far as the run game. You change the offensive line coach, you change all the personnel, you bring in a talent like E.J. Crowell, you bring in a big blocking tight end and Josh Ford. Like, you've done everything you possibly can to kind of remedy that, and so it's a matter of how much they're able to. But while I won't say that it was a significant step in the right direction, I do think they are moving in the right direction overall.
No, I agree 100% with you, and I look at it the same way you do. Because on one end, you know, when you're sitting in those meetings on a, whether it's a Monday or whenever it is when you meet after a football game, you know, we always say the same thing: a win is a win. It doesn't matter if you win by 1 point or 25 points; a win is a win. But then we always go watch the rest of the tape, but then that's when we basically get chewed out and start really diving into the details. And I think both things can be true. And that's kind of what I've been trying to explain here, is that, you know, there's definitely been progress, but I don't think it's necessarily disrespect or out of, I guess out of the blue that somebody would have that type of perspective, given, you know, if you really dive into the intricate details, like you mentioned. So I definitely agree with what you're saying there, Clint. I know we got a couple more minutes left, so I want to ask you real quick, and we haven't discussed this just yet, but I guess the theme is the disrespect, man. And there was a quote from, I guess it came from a strength coach that was at Indiana, but he had some interesting comments regarding Kurt Cignetti's mindset ahead of the Alabama game in the Rose Bowl. And what he said was, in the game day meeting at the hotel, he was like, "I don't want to do any trick plays, weird stuff. I want to line up and beat the blank out of them." In the second half, we started bullying those guys around, and when Bama had given up, it was, "I don't really want to pass anymore. I want to run it down their throat and make a statement." I mean, when you hear a program, an Indiana man, and they're led by, you know, former Bama assistant, obviously, you know, we know there's probably a little bit of a personal, you know, effect there, him being a former coach at Alabama. But so what do you make of that, hearing that quote from Kurt Cignetti, head of the Rose Bowl?
It makes me have a ton of respect for Kurt Cignetti. I mean, it's not fun to hear when you were on the side of the beatdown. But That's what anybody in college football, that is the mentality that you want the head coach to have. That's the identity of the program that you want to have. That is the holy grail, in my opinion. And granted, the way things played out, you can always kind of look back a little bit and kind of, even if that wasn't actually some, you know, you can kind of embellish sometimes. I understand there could be some of that going on here. Maybe there wasn't that much confidence and they're hindsighting in a little bit. But I guarantee you, just off, based off of the way that I've, you know, come to know Kirk Cignetti to operate, I'm not surprised that that was the mentality. If you are Kalen DeBoer and this coaching staff, if you hear something like that, and that doesn't challenge something, you know, as far as your competitive spirit in the deepest parts of you, then you've got a massive problem, because that's a level of kind of, and this is not a shot at anybody on Alabama staff. This is like, if anybody made any sort of comment like this and you felt like they were comfortable going into that game, making that kind of, those kind of comments. And then when they are, you know, beating you down, it's, we don't want to just beat them. We want to hurt them. You know, we want this to linger. We want to make a statement when it comes to Alabama and what they were versus what they are. If you can't take that as a challenge, then you're lacking something as far as your competitive spirit. And so I will be curious to see not only how Kalen DeBoer responds to those kind of comments happening this offseason, but the players and Kane Womack and Ryan Grubb and just everybody involved with the program, strength and conditioning coaches, everybody. And we'll see if that kind of changes some things as far as, you know, how they operate, because no one in a million years would have ever said anything remotely close to that nature as far as when Nick Saban was the coach about Alabama. And so that's something that, you know, the fact that we're kind of in that place, you've got to accept that challenge and be willing to kind of throw some punches back.
You know, it's crazy when you think about it that, like, Alabama was always the team that, I mean, we didn't even say anything. That teams were intimidated, and they just saw Alabama on the schedule, and that was enough to, you know, intimidate those guys. And now you're hearing people talk like that. And it definitely is something you kind of got to get used to a little bit, but hopefully we're not used to it too long. But you're right. I mean, I even said, listen, personally, I'm plastering this. If I'm anybody in that building, whether I'm, you know, player development, whether I'm a strength coach, whoever, I'm printing that out. I'm printing out about 1,000 copies of that quote. They can use the one that I generated with ChatGPT right here. And I'm slapping on every rack. I'm slapping on every window in the training room. I'm slapping in front of the hot tubs. I'm slapping in the showers. I'm slapping every locker. I mean, that's a quote that, really gets you going. I mean, I don't know what else, what kind of motivation you need, but
you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, man, you're in the wrong business for sure. Clint, well, I appreciate you and the business that you do, man. Before we let you go, man, tell everybody how they can keep up with all the good work that you guys are doing on Cover Crimson.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, you can find me on the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. Every weekday we do a live show or have some video coming out at 7:45 Central Time. And then you can find me on Twitter at Clint R. Lamb. Christian, as always, I appreciate your time today, brother, and I look forward to next week.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure, brother. We'll see you then.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Christian.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good DR guy, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us on Tuesdays. We appreciate him making it happen today. I know he had some stuff come up, but he was able to jump on. And, of course, like always, man, really good stuff from Clint, man. He's always very fair, very objective, right? He's going to have a little bit of Bama bias, like he mentioned, every now and then, but he's going to shoot you straight, man, and that's why we appreciate all the good stuff that those guys are doing. Give them a follow and a subscription at Cover Crimson. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. We got Pat on the phone lines next. Plus, we'll dive a little bit deeper in this Kurt Cignetti quote right here on the Miller's Edge.
900-9000 for a free consultation. No fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Have any problems you got with a damp crawl space or a crack in your foundation? They even do pest control and lawn care. Full service Alabama Professional Services at alabamaprofessional.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
With Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon, the high 79. Tonight, mostly fair with a low at 64. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy and breezy. The chance of a shower by afternoon. Thunderstorms arrive tomorrow night. Those could be severe. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
And welcome back in to this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson who joined us on Tuesdays. We just heard from him. Really good stuff. And really, I think a very respectable answer, Reed, right? I think it was very comparable to what we've been talking about this whole time on the show, right? Like, there's no denying the progress that's been made. But when you do dive in to those intricate details, I think it does paint a little bit of a different narrative, which should be viewed as a challenge, right? It's not that it's necessarily sounding the alarm, but I think it's definitely something worth mentioning and something that's worth, you know, working towards, which, like he mentioned, we're seeing steps in that direction. Now it might not be every little detail that fans want to see, but I think when you make a change at the offensive line position, when you bring in, you know, different guys, personally, I don't know if we invested enough in our offensive line. Like, I probably would have, again, that's just me just going off of what I know. My biggest thing is it's just, we'll have to wait and see. They have people that do evaluations. They probably saw something that maybe I didn't, but I'm a firm believer, Reed. Hey, if I feel like we're an offensive line away from really taking that next step, which I believe we kind of are there. I mean, not saying defense is perfect. There are some, you know, issues that need to be cleaned up there. Pass rush needs to be better, more consistent stop in the run, being a little bit more physical. But to have a top 20 defense, I truly believe you pair a very sound offensive line with the skill guys that we do have, Reed. Now, that might be wishful thinking. Maybe that, I don't know if logistically it's that easy to do, but Reed, I'm going all out on the offensive line, man. Like, if I'm looking at Keelan Russell, even Austin Mack, and I'm looking at, I got Ryan Coleman-Williams, I got Latier Brooks. You know, we went and got a guy, Noah Rodgers, hate that he got hurt, but you still see Derek Meadows and CeeDee White. These guys are stepping up. And then you look at the running back room that definitely underperformed last year, but right now you're like, okay, even some of these young guys, man. I just would hate to look back and just say, man, even on this year, I know we're saying 2027 feels like the year. Coach DeBoer will tell you that they don't really view it like a looking ahead thing. Every year they're looking to compete, man. I just hope that's not the case where we, at the end of the year, we're like, damn, another year with poor offensive line play. If only we would invest a little bit more, really tried to really put our best before. Not saying they didn't, but just, you know, just looking at the guys we brought in with the youth and inexperience, I feel like there's definitely was a little bit more we could have done. It's my opinion. 205-342-9904. See what Pat has to say. Pat, welcome in.
Hey, man. Hey, the guy we got from Mississippi State's got quite a few starts, man. But I just wanted to, and I appreciate you holding me to after Clint Lamb, that my little dog bolted again a while ago, and I won a new one that I've adopted, and he bolted out of the my house, yeah, but he was spotted about an hour and a half ago back on 25th Street back in, and he's, and I ain't seen him squished yet, thank God, but hopefully I'll get him back. But while we're talking a little bit about this deal here now, Vegas is not disrespecting as much as media are.
You know, that I forgot to mention that.
Disrespecting about, huh?
I said I forgot to mention that, that the latest odds that dropped. I did bookmark that. I think it was from Mike Rodak. He had shared it. But so you don't. But they had Alabama pretty low in terms of odds, which you don't think that was. I mean, I don't think it's disrespectful. I mean, that's just them doing their job. But well, I mean, what'd you think about that? I don't remember exactly what the odds were, but we weren't up on the list. I can tell you that much.
Well, Yeah, well, yeah, but we're still not disrespected as bad as the regular media is taking shots at. And it's all about, hey, we're an easy target right now. However, I don't think that what I saw at A-Day, I didn't get to go to the one prior to that. I'm a member of that Yay Alabama stuff and all that, but I didn't see what little we got to see that I think we're going to be a very competitive team. That I think at we win 9 out of 12 games, maybe 2 to 3 losses, maybe. They're paying Lane down there a whole lot of money to win, but I think we're going to beat LSU. I think LSU is going to be one of our wins. What do you think?
You know, I actually was just thinking about our schedule the other day, and I'll be honest with you. LSU going on the road down there, knowing the crop of players that they brought over there. I mean, it's kind of a hit or miss, right? I mean, they brought in a lot of good football players. Lane Kiffin has a really good staff. I mean, especially look at offensively, right? I mean, you're talking about him and Charlie Wise Jr. You look at what they've been doing at Ole Miss. They're a very good coaching staff. But then they retain Coach Baker, right? Defensive coordinator, who is also a damn good football coach, Pat. So I'll be honest with you. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, we'll have to see. I'm not sold on LSU. And I don't want to say I'm sold necessarily just yet that they're going to be some, you know, title contender in year one. I know, you know, the first year of taking over any program, even if you bring in a lot of guys, it's still going to be a little bit of a transition. But I can see that being a challenge for us, man, especially given that it's on the road. So I'll be honest, I don't know if I would be so confident just to easily put a W there. That one to me is a game that has been concerned.
The reason I put a W there is because of history. And I mean, those who forget history are what they're damned to the teeth. And at LSU, you know, you realize in your lifetime, you can only remember one or two events for LSU down there, if you can remember that game.
We have a streak down there for sure. Yeah, we have a streak down there.
We pay taxes at Red Stick.
Yeah, but the problem is, Pat, I mean, as great as, you know, stats and history are, I mean, at the end of the day, man, every team is a new team and it's a new year and there's new factors. You're talking about they have a whole new staff. So I get what you're saying, but I view it from the sense that, I mean, that's not going to do anything. You know, Coach Saban says this all the time, like, what we did last year is not going to do anything in this game at all. I mean, it might give us some tape to watch and to prepare us, but these are new players and new coaches, so we'll have to see. I know the first time Coach DeWar went down there, it went really well. That was actually one of his best games of year one here at Alabama. If you guys remember, Jalen Milroe had himself a day. I think he ran all over the place with those guys. I don't remember what the final score was, but it was actually one of our better games. And I think we rushed for a whole hell of a lot of yards in that football game. Problem is, you don't have Jalen Milroe at quarterback, you know, quarterback design run or just his ability to extend plays. So we'll just have to see how this offense comes together and how they're able to handle that stadium. Because I'm telling you from experience, Pat, I mean, I'm sure you visited, you probably know, but playing out there, man, it's deafening. It's loud. It's rowdy. I mean, the student section is
They love playing at night. And they had all day long to get drunk. They have to get drunk to watch that mess down there. But it's just the fact that they don't know how to win there. I'm talking about against Alabama. And that means a lot, too. Like I said, I'm excited for this season. And if anybody at, like I said, my little fella, he only weighs like 17 pounds. And he loves women. Men, not so much. And so it'll be easy to pick him up. And if my information, I did get a report that his collar is still on me. So my phone number information is on his collar. And I sure would love to get him back. And I'll give a nice reward to anybody that finds him.
What is his name, Pat?
his name is Buddy. And he doesn't have a tail. He's blonde, weighs about 17 pounds, got kind of wavy blonde hair, and he's blonde all over and fairly long nose. But,
and you said this is the second dog that you've had run off?
Yeah. I just rescued this dog, and he's had four homes in the last year and a half, and this might be why. Because he's done run off twice on me. And if I get him back, he will be tied to the darn steering wheel when I put him in the car.
Well, I was going to say, I'll recommend this to you, Pat. I don't know if you have an iPhone, but they make AirTags, and you can put them on his collar.
AirTag, and I'm gonna put a GPS tracker in his butt, where then I can get him back. But just as soon as I get him, that's my next move. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
Yes,
y'all have a blessed
Absolutely.
Day. Great show. Those people who disrespect Alabama, remember this. History repeats itself, and Alabama will be great again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Pat. Good stuff, man. I guess you don't have to change that acronym much. Make Alabama great again. I'm not even going there today. All right, let's hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
Hi, Rizzi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's and ulcerative colitis combined. Learn more at SkyRizzi.com or 1-866-SKY-RIZZI.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of Miller's Edge. Reed found himself a new little instrumental to come back to, it sounds like. Maybe, I don't know, it sounded pretty good, man. Nice little beat, switching it up today on a Talking Tuesday. I like it, man. We're talking about a number of things here. We talked with Clint Lamb. We've been talking about some of this disrespect. Let's go ahead and dive into the phase two part. We mentioned it with Clint Lamb, Reed, but I want to get your thoughts on this, and I want to get our listeners' thoughts, whether you're listening via radio, stream, X, or Facebook, wherever. We're all kind of all over the place, man. But this is what Kurt Cignetti had to say regarding Alabama. I'll read it again. I know I read it with Clint on here, but I want to just recap so you guys can hear it again, and I'm going to throw it back on the screen again. This was at least from what one of the strength coaches, I believe, had to say. In the game day meeting ahead of the Rose Bowl, at the hotel, he was like, I don't want to do any trick plays, weird stuff. I want to line up and beat the crap out of them. In the second half, we started bullying those guys. And when Bama had given up, just even hearing that, goodness, man. It was, I don't really want to pass anymore. I want to run it down their throat and make a statement. So now that I think about it, Reed, hold on. Let me reread this. Hold on. In the game day meeting at the hotel. So this is before, right? I mean, we're at the game day meeting at the hotel. I don't want to do any trick plays, weird stuff. Cool. All right. So that's that. I want to line up and beat the blank out of them. That's that. Okay. Got it. So then we're fast forward. And so then in the second half, that's when I was confused when I was like, wait, hold on. He said, I want to run it down their throat, make a statement after I forgot. It's split in half. The first half of the quote is before the game. The second half of the quote was during the second half of the game. Okay. Thank you. Sorry, for some reason, I confused myself. I'm like, hold on, wait, hold on. We time traveling here? How did he say that? How did he know that was?
How
did
he know?
Yeah, I'm like, wait, did he just predict the future? Like, damn, I guess he's pretty good at that. So anyway, that was what he said. Now, are we deeming this disrespect, Reed? I mean, to me, it's like yes and no. It's like, to be fair, you know, they kind of had that privilege to saying this kind of stuff, given the performance that they had, right? I mean, like, on one end, it's like, I mean, like, there's nothing really to even argue here, because they talk the talk, and then to the second half of this, in the second half of the game, they walked the walk. And I will also mention this. When you're up by that many points in a football game, you're going to run the football regardless. So it's not necessarily as if it's like, you know, the game was close and it's like, man, forget throwing the football. Man, we're only going to run the football. You're going to run the ball anyway because you're trying to chew the clock. You know, it's kind of dumb to throw the football. But they wanted to do it a certain way. And to be fair, that's what we saw. I mean, I remember you just watched the second half. It kind of did look like we and I don't want to put this on our guys because I'm trying to choose to believe otherwise. But it did kind of look like at some point guys kind of threw in the towel. And I'm not saying it's from a standpoint of like, man, like we're just quitting. But like the energy, like just like them going out, there was almost like, hey, here's the score. This is what it is. We kind of just were checking out, right? I at least put it like that. I'm choosing not to believe we just said, man, these guys are too tough. We're going to quit. I mean, that just hurts to even think about. That said, Reed, I mean, do we consider this disrespect or we just consider this kind of like Clint said, saying, hey, man, this is what I think any college football fan would want to hear out the guy that's leading their football team.
Well, I think you answered it correctly. I think yes and no, but in the sense of kind of like what you and Clint were saying, I'd want any coach to say that ahead of playing, you know, Alabama, especially with the season that they were having. They were coming off a Big Ten championship win against Ohio State. They're undefeated on the season. They got the bye, the first seed bye or whatever. But it's not the fact that what he said, you know, was disrespect. It's the fact that, like you said, they walked the walk. I think that was the disrespectful part right there. Is yes, they can say all they want, but all that matters is what happens on the field. And what happened on the field was, at least I would see it as a sign of disrespect because you allowed that to happen.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. I mean, it's like, and a lot of the responses that I saw, because when I tweeted this out yesterday, and again, that quote is from the New York Times. I want to be clear. I think it was Stuart Mandel who wrote the article, and that's where I saw it. Someone had clipped it, and then I read the article and then just put up that little graphic. But I wanted, you know, our fans' response, right? I wanted Alabama fans to respond kind of just what they made of that. And to be fair, a lot of fans kind of agreed, man, hey, you can't really be mad at that. You know, what you can do now is use this bulletin board material and really just look ahead, which that's the only thing. And I know people probably feel like, oh, man, we're beating a dead horse, which, again, I get. Nobody wants to keep bringing this up. But when it comes out in the media, I think it's just a good reminder to say, hey, man, you know, they always say you don't lose, you learn, right? At least as long as you handle things correctly. And I think this should be, number one, a learning opportunity, but definitely a great motivator, man. Like for us, that looked like losing a national championship game. Like, I think you guys probably heard the story with Jalen Hurts when we lost in 2016 when Clemson had the pick play. That was his screensaver like the whole offseason and into the following season. And we ended up winning the national championship game the next year. Not saying because that was a screensaver, but sometimes, man, like I know some guys, like when we lost the national championship game, man, you got purple confetti and stuff falling on your head, man. Like you get back to the locker room back in Tuscaloosa, you still got confetti in your locker because it's attached to your cleats and equipment and stuff. But you're just seeing that crap and you're like, man, hell no. Like that feeling was bad. You don't want that to happen again. And so I think if you're a player or a coach and you're seeing, I get it. You don't want to pay attention to the external stuff. You should have all the motivation internally. But let's just be honest here. I mean, if this doesn't affect you in any type of way, man, you're probably, like Clint said, you're playing the wrong sport. You're in the wrong business. Because, I mean, that's taking a shot at, like, your pride, right? I mean, it's one thing if someone just kind of talking noise, like, hey, man, we put this many points on them or something. Okay, maybe. But when you're saying basically, hey, man, we don't respect you to the point where we want to embarrass you, that's kind of what he was saying. Kind of makes me wonder, man, did Kurt Zignetti have a rough time here with Coach Saban? Did Coach Saban yell at him a little too much? And you remember the press conference even before the game? They asked about, like, the Bama mystique, and he basically was like, you probably know more about that than me or my guys do. He was basically saying, I don't see this big Alabama, you know, football team that everybody's painted to be like we're about to play the Rose Bowl. He was downplaying it any time they brought that up. And, I mean, to be fair, if you watch, you know, some of the games that we had, I could understand from his perspective, like, they just beat, like you mentioned, I mean, they beat Ohio State, you know, a couple weeks prior. I mean, it's not like they haven't beat a good football team before. I don't know. The way I view it, though, kind of like you're saying, I mean, it's, you take it as disrespect. But when someone talks that talk and they end up walking that walk, man, it's not really much you can really say. One thing you can do then is just use it for fuel and make sure it doesn't happen again, which hopefully that is not the case. I mean, Like I said, man, if it's me, hell, maybe I'll just go print a. I mean, I'll get a printer. I'm gonna have to go buy a new ink cartridge. I think my printer's out of ink, man. I'm gonna go buy an ink cartridge, Reed. Maybe that'll be my homework, man. I'll just go get some tape, man. I'm just gonna smack it all over the place, man. We did have one of the guys on the team. I think he liked the post, so he saw it. You know, I think he probably liked it to save it so he can go back and look at it. Maybe he needs to share it with his teammates, man. You know, everything's digital nowadays. Maybe you can just drop it in Teamworks. Just text it out to the team every day. You don't even waste the paper, man. Everything's digital nowadays. Just text it out via Teamworks and then everybody just wake them up 6 a.m. every day. The guys open their notifications and say, hey, this is what Indiana, their head coach said about you guys, man.
Yeah, they schedule it every single day. The exact same time. Just like a constant reminder.
That's like their alarm, right? It's like during training camp, like Denzel and the dudes used to go around with air horns. He used to tick us off to wake us up, man. Just send out a Teamworks text at 6 a.m. every day with this graphic of him saying that crap. I think that we have guys ready for workouts and practice. All right, let's hit a timeout. When we come back, we wrap things up on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We're also going to have a chance to make another SEC bus stop. We'll do that in Austin, Texas. We'll get the latest on the Texas Longhorns, a post-spring reminder. Right here, starting at 2 p.m. on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekday.
At 800-525-9069. 800-525-9069. 800-525-9069.
Tide 100.9. Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny this afternoon. The high 79. Tonight mostly fair with a low at 64. Tomorrow increasingly cloudy and breezy. The chance of a shower by afternoon. Thunderstorms arrive tomorrow night. Those could be severe. The high 81. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide?
Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Score! And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Really interesting, I guess, question that I had come up here, Reed. Somebody was talking about, you know, Kurt Cignetti. Then, of course, hindsight's 2020, and people, well, they weren't saying we should hire, but what they were saying was maybe he took it a little personal because he wasn't necessarily interviewed or considered for the job. And I just was saying, hindsight's 2020. I mean, people would have probably been in an uproar if you hired Kurt Cignetti, even though he had success at JMU. People would have been like, hiring JMU's coach to come here and coach at Alabama, that would not have gone over well, right? Like that's just what it is. But my question is, we all know, I say down the road again, and for whatever reason, right? I mean, again, it's not trying to foreshadow that Coach DeBoer won't be here, but let's just say 4, 5, 6, whatever. You never know, right? And you're looking for a new head coach. Kurt Cignetti would make a lot more sense at that point, given what he's done at Indiana. But my question is, now that you've kind of broke the chain of, you know, going away from, you know, the Saban DNA, right? Because Coach DeBoer, there's no relation there. He's not from the tree. He doesn't, his method and his culture is really like entirely different. Do we even see it going back to like a Saban disciple type deal after Coach DeBoer? I mean, what do you think, Reed? Or at that point, does it matter still now that you broke the chain, or is this different? I mean, what do you think?
I think I always try to look at two sides of things, right? And I think it depends on, number one, Coach Kalen DeBoer's success here, right? So are we talking from that he, you know, finished his career and it's a very successful career, right? He wins national championships. If that's the case, then no, I think they go the complete different route. But if it ends up being 4-5 years down the road, and there's really, you know, we're only still at that one SEC championship appearance, maybe we win an SEC championship and they want to just go a separate way, then that's when I'd say, yeah, they probably try to bring in, you know, one of the Saban's quote-unquote disciples.
That does make sense. And even let's take it a step further. Say, you know, he has a lot of success and he ends up moving. If you have a lot of success at Alabama, I don't know where else you would go that wouldn't feel like a lateral move. If he brings Alabama back to, you know what I mean, like that type of standard, I don't really know why he would take another job at that point. I mean, I guess you could always take another job, but you get what I'm saying. But let's say it was something like that, or he moved on to the NFL or whatever. I don't know, just whatever. But like we're saying, it goes really well. Maybe it is a hire from within and they build off of his mold or his model. That is, I guess, something to consider too. I don't know. It just was a interesting thought I had when we were just talking about it. Because I'm like, that would be interesting. I mean, because you kind of like, let's just be honest, you've done a pretty big 180, right? I mean, like, and I'm not saying that's the worst thing. I mean, fit-wise, yeah, it is a little bit different. Takes some getting used to. But, you know, when you go from one thing and then, you know, the next coach you bring in and his way of doing things is really, like, different, right? I mean, it's just like a 180. It makes you wonder, it's like, do you then try to go back to it? Or do you stick with kind of, I don't know, definitely it's kind of interesting, man. I see people throwing some names in here, but, yeah, I don't know.
I think, Christian, you could have that same argument of, and I feel more one-sided to the other than this, but would you feel like they're more likely to hire within or look outside? Because I think it goes back to that point. Did the success in the system, like, equate enough to say, yeah, we're going to hire someone within? Or was it not up to the quote-unquote standard that's already been previously set, and then they look elsewhere?
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. Let's say Kame Womack, who has head coach experience, coached at South Alabama, say he still was around 3-4 years down the road. And again, for whatever, say they had a lot of success, Coach DeBoer maybe wanted to try his hand at the NFL. I don't know. I could maybe see them promoting from within, maybe, just at that point. But it probably also would depend on who also is available. I mean, let's say Steve Sarkisian in Texas didn't work out and he became available. Maybe that would be like a name like that, or I don't know, or Dan Lanning, who's still young. I mean, I know people bring up Oregon and they seem like they're not super impressed, but let's just be honest here, guys. I mean, they've only lost, what, like 3 regular season games in the last couple years, or last 3 years, maybe? I mean, I understand the schedule. I get all that, but, I mean, you know, Dan's a young kind of up-and-coming coach. I mean, I think he's somebody that's definitely interesting. I don't know. Again, we're talking hypothetical way down the line. This is, I don't know. This is very – it's a Talking Tuesday. That's what we do on the show. Hey, real quick before we get out of here, man, don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. R&RCigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge. Get you a great discount. And if your order qualifies, get free shipping as well. Now, you got plenty of holidays coming up. You got Memorial Day and all types of things. Mother's Day is coming up. I don't know if you guys smoke cigars, you mothers out there. Maybe you do. I don't know. But, hey, they got them for you. Use that code Miller's Edge. And, of course, go hang out at the Mansion, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, wraparound porch. Weather's great, man. Go watch some sports, baseball, softball, action softball. About to head out. They got some big things coming up. Best of luck to them, Coach Murphy and the crew. But, again, R&R Cigars will take care of you. Plus, they got over 160 bourbons for you right there. Drink responsibly. Get you a nice stick, a nice drink, kick back and relax. Maybe host Bible study like the Pastor Payne does at his spot back in Columbia. That said, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. That will do it for us on this Talking Tuesday edition. Big thanks to Reed and others behind the glass, all you guys listening via radio, via streams. And we look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.